It has been 5 days now since Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr released the bankruptcy reorganization blueprint, the one that maps out a way to wipe out billions in debt, spend over $500 million in tearing down abandoned buildings, and invest $1 billion to improve city services. Now that all stakeholders have had a chance to digest this blueprint, the battle lines are being drawn. Let's look at what's ahead for all sides as we welcome Detroit Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Well, the headline in the Free Press the day after the restructuring plan was released read, "Detroit plan divvies up pain and promise." And I'm wondering, do you think that the promise is going to be worth the pain?
Well, you know, this is one of those things where you have to be an optimist and a realist, or a pessimist and someone who is living in the past. I think that the shame of it is what has to happen to fix things. This is a very emotional as it is economic, because you're talking about major changes to people's lives. They're talking about the biggest thing is the pensions.
Sure.
They're talking about, you know, pension cuts, 34% for general service city workers and 10% for police, former police officers and firefighters.
Who don't get Social Security, we have to remember.
You know, who don't get Social Security. Who did the job that, you know, like teachers, that we're not going to do. They go do these heroic and angelic jobs. They retire with the promise that this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that promise is being broken. But I can tell you there are things that happen through the years that somebody should have said, you know what, we better pay closer attention. I'll tell you just a couple of things from our series, How Detroit Went Broke, which is one of the best things ever done in American journalism, mm-hmm. because it broke down issues that people don't really understand mm-hmm. into understandable bites. For instance, revenue in Detroit fell 40% from 1962 to 2012. You can't have a 40% drop in revenue and not adjust for that, not make amends for that, not deal with that. In addition to that, the total assessed value of Detroit property, which is sort of what you determine, you know, to see if a city can pay its bills and mm-hmm. if its tax base is okay, fell 77% in the past 50 years. You cannot do that and not make major changes. But this is the part that, unfortunately, You look at pensioners and people who know that when I'm not working anymore, I have to make sure this works.
Right.
You have to pay attention. I explained it to somebody. I said, it's like counting on your bank to send you checks, and you don't even drive by to see if the bank is still open. And all of a sudden you go by and the bank isn't there. They handed out about $1 billion in bonuses from the city's two pension funds from 1985 to 2008. We're just talking about over 23 years. That money could have shored up funds and prevented the city from filing for bankruptcy, and most of it came in the form of a 13th check.
That 13th check.
Let's see. Everybody gets paid monthly, 12 months a year. It's just the American way. Except in Detroit, you'd get a 13th check that nobody said, oh, at some point we have to make sure we have the money to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. So there were lots of things that people ignored, and the chickens came home to roost. And now they're roosting on the shoulders of these pensioners, many of whom are too old to work, mm-hmm. cannot deal with some of these cuts. The average pension is only $19,000, and they're going to be expected to lose either a third of their income, or if you're a former police or firefighter, a tenth of your income.
I think a lot of attention, right, should go to the folks who are running these pension funds.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are looking at the pension funds. They have been for some time. Mm-hmm. You know, there are all types of looks and investigations to make sure, you know, that things were not done improperly. But we've written stories about some of the mm-hmm. things that have happened, some of the, you know.
Starting with the 13th check.
Mm-hmm. check. But in addition, just some of the other things, the way the pension boards behaved, you know, the types mm-hmm. of things they did, the types of trips they took.
They
need to look at all of that. But that won't help Detroit, because you have to stay focused on the future. And the bottom line is, at this point, what can you do? They can fight to not have bankruptcy mm-hmm. and then figure out how to make this work, or they can get to a clean slate. We're so far from this being done, you know, now that they've presented this plan,
right.
And, you know, they did the two things. The first thing was the plan of adjustment, mm-hmm. which shows, you know, the creditors and their debt and what the city is going to pay. And a lot of the creditors are like, I'm not taking pennies on the dollar. I gave you my money in good faith. And then the disclosure statement, that shows the city government's future, what it should look like.
Right.
This is when the lights are on and when the police and fire work and the officers come when you call and all of the – and the blight removal, you
buildings
know, half
are
a billion
gone,
dollars
yeah.
to get rid of some of the stuff that, you know, makes the city look so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, improve city services, a better city, someplace that you can get people to move and then stay when they have kids, which gets to the schools that is not even a part of this plan.
Right.
Or do nothing.
So it's been crystal clear since – Kevin Orr rode into town. There is no money in the piggy bank. And there are so many causes and people to blame for that spread out over decades. But Kevin Orr isn't one of them. He wasn't the one cutting the 13th check, or he wasn't the one engineering the credit swaps deal that now the city's claiming was illegal. That was Kilpatrick's team. So I get, you know, why scream and howl when there's nothing in the pot?
You know, it's human nature. You know, people, first of all, don't adapt well to change, period.
Mm.
But then they don't adapt to change that they know is going to make their lives worse. All they're thinking is, I am nearing the end of my life, and the city said this is what I'd be able to do, and this is what I counted on, and now I've been lied to. The interesting thing is you can't blame Kevin Orr, and you can't blame Coleman Young, which a lot of people did. He was the only mayor since 1950 to run government without debt.
Wow.
Which means,
right.
A, it's yeah. possible, and B, somebody should have kept doing it.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Detroit Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley, kind of looking over the bankruptcy reorganization blueprint that was submitted by Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr. And let's talk more about these pensioners. Should the governor and legislators step up, Rochelle, do you think, to back the state constitution that protects these retirees and make these pensions whole?
Well, that's one of the many, many areas of litigation that's going to happen. And it's the only one that I think the state should be required to do.
Mm.
You know, you can't do this separation of state and federal and you don't tell our state what to do. If here's a challenge to your constitution.
Your state constitution.
Your state constitution, yeah. And you're ignoring it. The biggest battles I thought would be around the DIA. I think this is going to be a bigger battle. This is something that was guaranteed. This was an issue that was so important that they wrote it into the Constitution. So, yes, I think if the governor and the legislature are willing to give $350 million to save art at the DIA, then they need to do what they need to do to help the pensioners. I don't know that they won't be able to take any cut or have life as usual.
Mm.
There's no such thing as a 13th check. There's no bonuses. All of that is taken care of. They're going to have to adjust and make sure that the number of people working for city government is a number that can be afforded.
What do you say, though, to convince legislators who will say, you know, tax dollars from my constituents, let's just say in Escanaba, should not have to be used to clean up the mess in Detroit?
Well, people are saying that now about mm-hmm. the DIA deal, which, mm-hmm. as you know, calls for $350 million
the grand
of state
bargain.
Tax money
yeah.
for this you know, scheme, this
mm-hmm.
plan to move money into the pension funds and spin off the mm-hmm. DIA as an independent. Okay, well, that's tax dollars, and mm-hmm. people are actually talking about that like, okay, we can do this.
But that isn't going to come without strings attached, is it?
There may be strings, but it's still tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you are willing, this is what I would say. Okay, this is the state constitution. This is the one literally from the Upper Peninsula to Detroit, from Grand Rapids to – this is the one that covers everybody. If you don't want it to apply for people in Detroit, then why should it apply for people anywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
I think that at some point either your constitution means something or it doesn't.
When you look at the timetable that Judge Stephen Rhodes has set that mm-hmm. would resolve this bankruptcy by September and perhaps see Kevin Orr riding out of town by September, what concerns you the most?
That's never going to happen. I appreciate that everybody has the timetable they're working on, but unless he plans to just stop working in the middle of it, this litigation is not guaranteed to end this summer. You know, it's like, okay, people are filing lawsuits everywhere, and you're just sort of declaring they're all going to be done. I'm going home to my wife. I don't know that that is logical. I think it's optimistic. Mm-hmm. I think it would be great for this to be done. But there are two things that people forget. Governor Snyder has already said on several occasions that there will still be some type of oversight. So Kevin Orr being gone does not mean the end mm-hmm. of some type of management, state management and oversight. And the second thing is, you know, these lawsuits could go the other way. I mean, two of the things that have been interesting is, oh, wait a minute. So Detroit didn't try to borrow money, didn't try to make changes to the casino revenue. But now Kevin Orr is doing that. Why couldn't the city do that? And maybe, you know, its leaders did not quite understand to do that. But now that you've sort of shown the path, why not do bankruptcy and go do those things? You know, if you're going to be making cuts to the pension anyway, why can't you do all of these things without bankruptcy? There's all types of questions being asked by people who either don't think the bankruptcy is real, don't think the bankruptcy is necessary, or don't want any emergency management. And there's that argument, too, where people are still saying that Kevin Orr should never have come.
Well, and under the law, can't city council say, see ya, come September?
Well, come September, they have the authority to do that. But yeah, that doesn't mean that the state, again, can't let whatever that new oversight is kick in right then, and there's still somebody telling them what to do. It just won't be the emergency manager.
So what gives you the most hope? Let's end on that note.
There's two things, and this is going to sound so petty. Well, not petty, but for me, turning the lights on, you know, a city that operates in the dark, that its neighborhoods, which must survive and must have attention, are in the dark. That's where the drug deals go on. That's where the shootings are happening. That's where the crime is. People who are talking in the suburbs and say, oh, I don't know if I want to go down to Detroit because it's dangerous. If you're going to Comerica Park or to Ford Field, there's nothing that's going to happen to you. You know, look at crime reports. The crime reports are in the neighborhoods. Yeah. They're at gas stations. They're where people are shooting people in the dark. Turning the lights on is the most important. What they're going to do with the lighting authority and what they do with police and fire is the most important thing in this city. When you do that and you fix the schools, everything else can come.
Detroit Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley. It's always a pleasure, Rochelle. Thank you.
Thank you so much.